Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to our conference call. We are here to present the 2017 result that have been approved this morning from the board of directors. And I'm extremely proud to show the result we have achieved during 2017. Result are incredible high, and in fact, all margins have recorded a double-digit increase. We have shown a significant cash flow generation, and we were able to pass the 500 million cash generation, and similarly, we were able to increase our investment by more than 40%. During 2017, as we promised during the presentation of the industrial plan last May, we have started a significant number of M&A transactions. We will get into details later, but let me say that we have closed six transactions. Two of them we arrive at the closing, the other four will arrive soon. And we have spent more than 130 million for such a transaction. So what we promised in June, we were able to deliver during 2017. On top of that, we have completed by the end of 17, beginning of 18, and Antonio will tell you later in details, the review of our financial indebtedness. We were able, with the January issue, to arrive at 3.2 billion euro in term of amount of financing, fixed financing. Securing our position for the years to come. And finally, today the Board of Directors has approved the dividend per share proposal of 0.208 euro cents per each share. Let me go into details. So skip the page and go and see the number. The result in 2017 show an increase of the EBITDA by 14.1% in respect to the previous year. But even more important than that, the EBIT has shown an increase of nearly 18% in respect of 2016, mainly due to our strict action against the strict control of the cost. Regarding the net profit reached nearly 297 million euro with an increase of 34%. What is important also are not only the economic result, but also the cash flow and the capex expenditure. In terms of cash flow, the cash flow was up by 10% in respect of last year, nearly 550 million euro. And we were able to support a strong capex investment. We passed the 500 million euro. In particular, we reached 522 million euro. And we were able to install during 2017, nearly 1.7 million of new smart meters. That's extremely important. If you look at the CAPEX, the ability of Italgas to stay on what we promise in terms of investment, and in particular, if you look at the difference between 2017 and 2016. Regarding our net debt, the net debt increased by around 100 million in respect to the result at the end of 2016, but you should consider that 50 million was devoted to the payment of the first transaction that we closed at the year-end, that was the Enerco. So I can summarize saying that the cash flow generated was able to fully fund the CapEx and nearly fully fund the dividend payment that we did last year in May. Let's move on into the M&A activity that we closed during 2017. In the following pages, page four, you can see the six transactions that I mentioned before. In particular, Enerco was closed before the end of 2017, and during January 2018, we arrived at the closing for Amalfitana Gas and Portopalo. At the end of February, we completed the acquisition of Ichnusa Gas from CPL, and what remains is Medea and CPL Reti that are expected to be finalized within the second quarter of 2018. If you look at what we have spent for such six transactions, the overall spending has been equal to nearly 135 million euro, with an underlying RAB in the range of 120 million euro. Existing redelivery points are in the range of 70,000, with a full potential, once that all the investment will be completed, of 150,000 redelivery points. What is relevant are two elements. First of all, we enter for the first time in Sardinia, that today is still the only region in Italy that does not have any gas distribution network, and we enter with a significant presence. The second important element to be considered is that such acquisition will drive additional organic CapEx for more than 200 million euro in the next 3 to 4 years. A significant portion of such CapEx opportunity will start spending already in 2018. Our goal, as underlined during the industrial plan in last June, is to arrive by the end of 2018 with full acquisition of around 200,000 redelivery points, with an expenditure that will probably pass the 200 million euro. So, as you can see, we are around in 40% to 50% of the overall objective that we set last June. Let's move on the CapEx. I think it's an area that has shown the ability to Italgas to accelerate in the activity relevant to the investment opportunity. As already said, we have installed more than 1.6 million smart meters. If you compare to what we have done in 2016, that we have installed 0.6 million smart meters, that show an impressive activity that we put in place during 2017. We have reached 2.8 million smart meters, and with such a pace, we will be able to complete the smart meter installation by, let's say, first quarter of 2020. So out of the 522 million euro of expenditure, 230 million are relevant to this installation. On top of that, we have continued the investment in our network, that you can see represent 48% of our total expenditure. During 2017, nearly 600 km of new network has entered into operation. Again, that is in comparison with the previous year numbers, that was 350. Let me move on the cost side, just to give you a flavor of what we have been able to do during 2017, that can show you our ability to control and reduce the cost. That is the main driver of the 2017 results. In the page number six, we have listed the activity that we committed during the presentation of the industrial plan, and we have listed the activity that we were able to achieve and complete already during 2017. From a workforce point of view, we have completely the reorganization of our operation, and we are already completely in line with our objective. During 2018, we will see significant result coming from the reorganization of our workforce. From an operational processes, we have started the full replacement of our fleet from, let me say, the traditional one to the one fueled by natural gas. From an asset management point of view, we have installed, as I already said, nearly 1.7 million smart meters. What is important is that through such number, we were able to optimize the supply chain and the installation cost. In the meantime, we were able to start a new strategy for the contracts relevant to maintenance and the maintenance on the network. Regarding the ICT. ICT, it was, if you remember, an important matter last year because we are in the process to separate our infrastructure from the Snam one. I can tell you that the public cloud strategy is fully in place, and by the September, October of this year, we will be able to have our full IT infrastructure completely separated by Snam, and it will be on public cloud. Finally, as already said in previous conversation, we are in a process to completely reorganize our structure company. In fact, Napoletana Gas has been fully integrated in Italgas Reti since last October. ACAM and the new acquisition, Enerco, will be merged in Italgas Reti before June. As you know, Italgas Acqua has been created starting from January 1st, 2018. Last but not least, we initiated and we will continue the continuous improvement program that has already proved to be very effective in terms of cost cutting. The result of such effort is in our numbers. We were able to achieve, one year in advance, the result that we promised last June, so to reach the 350 million as a baseline for our cost. I will pass the floor to Antonio to go through each number, and then after the presentation, we will have time for your questions and remarks. Antonio?
Thank you, Paolo, and good afternoon, everybody. Before discussing the economic and financial results, let me remind you that the consolidation perimeter of our group at the end of December 2017 includes Enerco after the completion of the acquisition on last December 6th, which anyway has contributed to our economic results only for a few weeks. As you are aware, Napoletana Gas was merged into Italgas Reti from October 2017, therefore without any impact on the consolidated accounts. Let's go through the income statement, which shows very positive operating and financial results. In 2017, our consolidated adjusted EBITDA amounted to 781 million, 684 million in 2016, up by 14%, thanks to both revenue growth and the strict discipline in reducing our operating expenses. We will comment in detail later on. EBIT adjusted was equal to 423 million, up 18%. The increase of 33 million euro of depreciation and amortization versus 2016 reflects the accelerated depreciation of meters to be replaced with smart ones by 2018, in line with Italian authority plan. Thanks to the increased contribution from associates and the decrease of adjusted net financial expenses, mainly due to the lower average cost of debt, adjusted net profit was equal to 296 million euro, up by a significant 34%, with an EPS of 0.366 euro. Moving to revenues. Total revenues increased by 46 million in 2017 from 1,078 million euro in 2016 to 1,124 million this year. Total regulated revenues amounted to 1,097 million, 45 million euro increase compared to 2016, mainly driven by, firstly, positive effect mainly due to the tariff component update around 11 million euro, which reflects the positive RAB evolution, 8 million, and the increase in OpEx recognition, 6 million, partially compensated by the X factor effect, 4 million. Secondly, tariff adjustment related to previous year, 12 million. Thirdly, and higher compensation for smart meter rollout plan, 48 million in 2017, 29 million accounted last year, related to the increase of smart meters installed, up 1.1 million versus the previous year. The increase in other regulated revenues, 5 million euro, mainly due to an increase of regulated services to clients. Let's now go through the OpEx analysis, which shows a remarkable decrease of 68 million. Total operating cost amounted to 348 million euro. The decrease is a result of, firstly, 16 million euro of lower fixed cost related to 9 million euro increase in net labor cost deriving from the insourcing of sub-activities and increase of staff, both following the merge and the listing on the stock exchange. The increase in headcount, around 190 full-time equivalent, has been partially compensated by an optimization of the use of the company workforce for smart meters replacement activities. 25 million euro lower external cost, mainly driven by the decrease of serving contracts and the efficiency achieved in areas ranging from the territorial operational units organization to asset management, to ICT, and to third-party cost, to staff process reorganization as a result of the actions put in place during 2017. 24 million euro decrease of the other cost in regulated activities, mainly due to the lower write-off and capital losses. 15 million euro lower charges for the white certificate purchases, and 14 euro decrease of other activities, mainly due to the environmental provision accounting last year. Adjusted figures shows a reduction of 50 million euro, moving from 393 million in 2016 to 343 million euro in 2017. Special items for 2016 include non-recurring costs of 8 million related to the merge and the listing of the company, and 15 million euro of non-recurring voluntary reduction redundancy incentives. For 2017, non-recurring costs include 5 million euro for, again, voluntary redundancy incentives. Consolidated adjusted EBIT in 2017 amounted to 423 million, showing a solid 18% increase compared to 2016. This is the result of, firstly, a 97 million euro increase of the adjusted EBITDA, mainly due to revenues increase of 46 million, and 37 million euro decrease of regulated cost, 14 million euro decrease in cost of other activities. Secondly, the 33 million euro increase in D&A, mainly driven by accelerated depreciation related to the reduction of the economic life of the meters to be replaced according to the authority rollout plan. The 2017 adjusted net profit was 296 million euros, up 34% versus previous year. In addition to the already discussed EBIT increase, let us highlight the following trends. Net financial expenses amounted to 36 million, with a decrease of 12 million euro compared with 2016, adjusted driven by 11 million euro lower financial charges, mainly due to the reduced average cost of debt, which in 2017 was lower than 1%. This more than offset the impact of the higher outstanding debt, which as a result of the merge increased by around 1.5 billion euro. 5 million euro upfront fees paid in 2016 related to the bridge to bond facilities and recorded in the P&L following the reimbursement occurred in 2017, which was anyway compensated by 5 million lower non-cash costs, mainly related to other liability accretion discount effects accounted last year. These positive effects were partially offset by an increase of 4 million euro of income tax compared with the previous year, mainly due to the increase in the profit before taxes, partially offset by the 3.5% reduction of corporate tax. In 2017, the operating cash flow totaled 549 million and allowed us to fully cover the financial needs associated with the technical investment and to generate a free cash flow of 109 million euro. The cash flow from operation was generated by the net income plus D&A and other non-monetary items that include mainly D&A, risk fund release, and lower deferred tax. 50 million euros of net working capital increase, mainly related to the increase of the receivable, 54 million euro, due to the white certificates purchases. The robust cash flow from operation has covered the strong effort in the CapEx execution, 522 million euro spending, reduced by 29 million of subsidies and 31 million of a higher payable for CapEx. As a result, free cash flow amounted to 109 million, allowing the company to finance M&A activity, an acquisition for something more than 50 million euro, and the payment for the dividend. This allowed us to keep the financial net debt at the level of 3.7 billion. In 2017, we successfully issued bonds for a total amount of 2.65 billion euro, with an average cost of around 1.2% and an average maturity of more than 7 years. And in December, we signed a loan agreement with the European Investment Bank for a total amount of 360 million at floating rate for a tenor of 20 years. All the financial transactions that we carried out in 2017 are in line with the financial strategy included in the strategic plan presentation we have announced to the market last spring. Our debt structure is designed in order to protect our performance as well as to manage our debt maturity profile in line with the gas distribution tariff review timetable and to reduce refinancing risks. Moreover, we limited the exposure to interest rate of our debt structure, and we extended the overall tenor by increasing the fixed rate portion of our debt, therefore allowing the company to secure a competitive cost of debt in line with our guidance. Now let's move to the recent developments we had in the beginning of this year. In order to further optimize the cost of our debt, in January, we reopened the bond issue on September 2017 for a further amount of €250 million at better conditions than the ones of the original transaction. While in January, we carried out a swap transaction from floating to fixed rate in order to hedge the new European Investment Bank loan with an all-in cost of less than 1% for 7 years. As a result of the refinancing exercise, our debt structure at the end of 2017 is composed of €2.65 billion of bonds, something more than €780 million of European Investment Bank financing, and €200 million of term loan. We have repaid €2.3 billion bridge-to-bond facility signed in 2016, and we have locked in a competitive cost of funding of less than 1%. With an average fixed rate debt portion of 71%. The entire funding needs of the company are covered by medium to long-term financing. Our debt maturity profile confirms that we achieved our goal to reduce refinancing risk and to ensuring a long-term duration for our debt with maturity well distributed along the time horizon. In order to ensure a safe liquidity profile, we also have at our disposal €1.1 billion of revolving credit facilities fully undrawn at the end of 2017. We would like to highlight that the recent capital market exercise and the hedging transaction executed in January 2018 bring the current amount of fixed rate debt to over €3.2 billion. Moving on to look at the balance sheet, net investment capital amounts to around €4.9 billion with an increase of more than €220 million compared to the previous year. The increase is driven mainly by around €160 million increase in fixed assets, mainly related to organic capex and M&A activities, around €80 million increase in net working capital, mainly due to the increase of receivable mainly due to the white certificate purchases, and €90 million decrease in asset held for sale, Romostiense disposal to ENI. In 2017, our growth, both organic and through M&A, was supported by the significant cash flow generation, allowing us to maintain a solid balance sheet, well represented by the leverage that at the end of 2017 was around 61%. I now hand you over to Paolo for some final remarks.
Thank you, Antonio. I'm going to the end of this presentation, but before leaving to any Q&A or remarks you may have, I would like to underline some of the points. I think the result, the 2017 result, show our ability to arrive to the target. And in fact, the 2017 result have been above all expectations. I've seen, let me say, the consensus by many of the analysts, and on all the consensus, our result have been higher than them. The speed of all the activities, ordinary and extraordinary, have been increased since 2016. We have been able to change the pace. We have been able to arrive to the results with a different speed in respect to the past. Third element that I would like to underline to you is our focus on cost control. As you remember, we promised to arrive to the baseline of 350 million at the end of 2018. We have been able to reach this target at the end of 2017, and I think it has been a great performance, a great achievement. From now on, we will continue to control our cost, and our objective is to outperform the target that the authority is giving to us every year. Regarding the external side, I'm sure that some of the question will be about the tenders and the delay on the tenders, but we have been able to react to such a delay, be able to have a number of M&A activities that have created value for the company and for our shareholder. We have demonstrated another time our ability to perform what we have promised to the market, and the numbers of M&A that we are able to close is the result that we will show to you today. Finally, based on the result that we achieved, we have confirmed our dividend share policy, and we have confirmed the fact that we are going to pay in May 0.208 euro for each of the share. Now, I would like to open the floor for questions and remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will take our first question from Harry Wyburd from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Just three questions from me, please. Firstly, you're guiding, I think, if I remember correctly, to about 750 million of EBITDA at the nine-month results. I wonder what has improved significantly since then in the fourth quarter to get you to the number you just reported. That's the first question. The second one, could you give us a range or maybe comment on consensus for 2018? What would you be guiding to for 2018 net income? Finally, your payout on my analysis is now below 60%. Should we be thinking about the dividend? Is there a chance that that might be revisited in June? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the first question, if I well understood, you have requested, in respect to the guidance that we gave months ago, we were able to significantly increase the result. Let me say that regarding the EBITDA, there are two main effects that have been driving such increase. The first one is the acceleration on cost reduction, that at the time we have already said there was a speed higher than we expected, and the cost reduction has materialized already in 2017. We were able to reach that target. That is the first element of the increase of the EBITDA. The second element that has increased the EBITDA is the smart meter installation. We have been able to increase the number of smart meters. Initially, we were thinking about a number of smart meters installed during 2017 in the range of 1.4 million. At the end, we were able to arrive to 1.66, so nearly 1.7 million, That has pushed the revenues, the contribution in terms of revenues for meters replacement. Of course, that has also represented in a higher depreciation in respect to the previous expectation because we have replaced more smart meters. Regarding 2018, we are not yet available to give a guidance. Regarding what we can tell you is that regarding the investment in 2018, investment will be at the same level, I would say probably higher than the investment in 2017. As I told you before, we will see already some investment in the new acquisition, especially in Sardinia. So we expect that our total CapEx in 2018 will be higher than the one that in 2017. Regarding the cost, what we can tell you is that we will continue to reduce our cost, and we are sure that we will outperform the 1.7% given by the authority. Last question, you say the payout. You got the point, because the payout, you can calculate the payout based on what we announced. In June, during the approval of the plan, the board of directors, of course, will eventually reconsider the payout, the dividend policy, but I cannot anticipate if there will be any change in respect to the previous one.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Enrico Bartoli from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. A few questions on my side. First of all, on M&A transactions, you completed several this year. You were clear about the timing of the possible closing. Can you give a hint if this trend is expected to go on along 2018, and if you can remind or update your target in terms of PDR that you plan to reach by this activity by the end of the year? This is quite an obvious question. If you can update on your feeling about the process on the gas tenders, it seems that there have been several additional delays, but the tender in Milano seems to be completed. So what are your expectations in terms of the process over the next months in 2018? And then you mentioned the opportunities that could arise for Italgas from the methanization of Sardinia. Could you please elaborate your feeling about the possible timing on a decision of this on this project, which involves also additional portion of the gas chain there, and if you think that the commitment by the government could change considering the recent evolution at political level, and possibly when you think that some investments by Italgas could start in this project. Thank you.
Regarding the M&A, as I said before, but it is a confirmation of what we have put in our industrial plan, our target for 2018, so if we consider 2017-18, so the whole M&A package, our target is to reach 200,000 redelivery points. Initial estimation when we presented the plan was that prior to these 200,000 redelivery point, we put around 200 million euro of expenditure. Based on what we have done up to now, we think that we are going to spend to achieve 200,000 redelivery point a number that is going to be more close than 250 million based on what we have already achieved today. So that is what we intend to arrive at the end of 2018. As you can imagine, we have other current discussion for other potential transaction going on in these months. We are confident that by the year-end, that the 200,000 redelivery point as a target will be reached. Regarding the gas tenders, you are right. Milan has been given to ADVEA. So Milano closed the tender. We expect Torino, in which we are involved, to be closed in the next weeks, maximum couple of months. We expect, that is our expectation, that by during 2018, we will have around other 10 tenders to be submitted. But again, regarding the full picture of the tender, we will issue in June a new schedule that of course will take into consideration some delay that we have experienced in 2017. Last but not least, the investment in Sardinia. We, as I said before, we expect to start the investment already in 2018. We have already allocated a number of million EUR of investment, as I told you before, when I discussed the total CapEx on the investment in the new concession that we have acquired, and the one in Sardinia will be the major one. As you know, the concession that we have acquired in Sardinia have been already also co-financed by the Regione Sardegna. So we don't need any further authorization. We just need to start. In some of the area, CPL has already started the investment, so we will continue the investment. Regarding when the gas will be available, I think that you were referring to the transportation system. I think you should ask Snam. Based on what we know, the first transportation portion in Sardinia should be probably available in 2022, 2021, 2022. But of course, that is an element that you should ask to Snam because we are not involved in that investment. I hope that is.
Yes, just a comment on the political risk on the project due to the recent political situation, if you think that there is some risk.
Well, as I told you, all the concessions have been already approved and co-financed by the Regione Sardinia. So we don't have to ask any other authorization to proceed in making the investment on the different region, on the different ambiti of the Regione Sardegna. On the contrary, based on the feeling that we receive from the local territory, they are keen to see our investment to start in order to provide also the Regione Sardegna with a gas distribution network.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from James Brand from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have three questions, if I may. The first is just on the costs. You commented, I think, in the presentation, I'm not sure I heard it correctly, that 350 million was the baseline. But then you also said in the answer to one of the earlier questions that you would be aiming to reduce costs. I'm wondering whether you could tell us whether those comments together feed through into actually the 350 million going down on an absolute basis going forwards, or whether you're talking about efforts to reduce cost inflation and sticking closer to 350 million, which is what the baseline comments seem to imply. The second question is whether you could tell us what the RAB was at the end of last year based on what you'd actually closed, the transactions that you'd closed at the end of last year. And the third question is just a clarification on the comments you just made on the investments in Sardinia, that they were being co-financed by the local government there. What does that mean in practice? Does that mean they are lending money, or does it mean that they are investing alongside you in the RAB? Thanks.
Okay, let me start from the last question because it's an easy one. The co-financing from Regione Sardinia is we call a fondo perduto, meaning that they give us this investment. The amount will not go into the RAB. So it's a portion that is invested by the Regione Sardinia, but they have no return. So it's a support to support the investment. So of course, the majority of the investment is on our shoulder. It's a co-financing that is coming from the Regione Sardinia. But the point is that what is the amount that is calculated, that is taken into account to calculate the RAB, is our investment. Their investment, similar to what we receive for the grid in south of Italy, is not calculated for the RAB. Let's go to the first question, the cost. The baseline of the cost in 2016 was 416 million euro. We said that our target was to reach 350 million with a reduction of 15% by the end of 2018. We reached this number, 348, at the end of 2017. From this number on, what I said is that you probably know that every year the authority set what is called the X factor, that is 1.7%, that is a reduction of the revenues recognized by the authority for to covering the cost, the OPEX. If we said that we will be able to reduce our cost with a number that is going to be higher than 1.7% in order to outperform the objectives set by the authority. So we expect that 350 million will be also in absolute value reduced also in 2018. Regarding the RAB, I will pass the...
In relation to the RAB at the end of this year, our best estimation of our consolidated RAB at the end of 2017, including the acquisition of Enerco, is something more 5.8 billion euros. I would say mid-range 5.8, 5.85 billion euros.
Great. Thanks for those answers. They're very clear.
We'll now move to Yuri Zanieri from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congrats on your results. Two questions on my side. One related to the white certificate. Can you provide us a bit of light on what will be your strategy going forward? Would you consider to acquire energy service companies within 2018? And regarding the second question, referring to your press release, I see that you had actually a working capital change of 105 million. Can you provide a little bit more color on that? Thank you.
Regarding the white certificate, as you have seen and probably appreciated, we were able to bring to zero the loss that we experienced last year because we completely changed the strategy in which we are buying the white certificate. From 1st of June 17 until the year end, we have been continuously voted white certificate at the stock market where certificates are sold in a portion that is consistent with the percentage that we have on the total market of white certificate. In that case, we were able to, what we say, to buy the average price of the stock of the Vitus certificate. In that case, we have been able to reduce the loss of last year to zero. Going forward, as we already said in the industrial plan, we are seriously evaluating the acquisition of an energy efficiency company, and therefore you will, if we are successful in that objective, you will know that in the next weeks. Regarding working capital, Antonio may respond in more details.
Yes, I would say that, first of all, in terms of cash flow, which I believe is the most important element to be considered, the working capital for this year generate a need of around 50 million euros, which was related mainly to the payment of the white certificate. For if we look further more, the evolution of the net working capital, also including non-cash item, we also have to consider other elements such as the deferred taxes, provision, and so on. I would say from also including the non-cash item, the increase of the working capital is in the range of 80 million euros.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Stefano Gamberini from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Two quick questions, if I may. First of all, a clarification regarding the target of tenders that you expect in 18. If I'm not wrong, you said 10 tenders. I would expect something in the region of 20 tenders, out of which Italgas should be involved in more or less 10 of them. And if you can give us an idea what is the amount of RAB that you expect could be put on tender and that could regard Italgas during 18. The second regarding question, sorry, your idea regarding the length of each tender, because if I'm wrong, Milan was a scene after 14 months, and also in Turin, despite the fact you are the sole bidder, more or less the months are close to 1 year. So do you expect an acceleration in this process, or why the process are so long, and how could be accelerated? Because in the past there were some rumors that the government could intervene in order to accelerate the process. What could be, in your view, the next step in order to have the same effect? Thanks.
Let me say, first of all, Milano took exactly 1 year because the tender, or maybe 13 months, the tender was submitted last January and we received the notification, I think it was last month. And probably was the most complicated of the two, because there were two two subjects, A2AI and Duirete Gas. Not only, but also consider that Milano was a very large tender, because they had, like, if I'm not wrong, around 800,000 redelivery points. Regarding Torino, Torino was submitted end of June, so as of today we are 9 months delay, 9 months to review our proposition. Why, I mean, your question, why it takes so long, it's difficult to respond. The only answer that I have is that the number of documentation that is required to be submitted is quite huge, and therefore the commission that the municipality has put in place to review all the documentation has to go through each of the documents and look at it, especially if there is a competition. So, unfortunately, that is the number of months is in line of our expectations. So we always said that it will take 1 year from the submission of the tender until the award of the tender itself. So from that point of view, we don't see any, let me say, any element that will prolong over the 1 year the evaluation of the tender itself. The truth is that the delay of the tender, and that's the reason why this year we expect, I said before, between 10 to 15 tenders. Around 10 it will be of our interest. We estimated that those of our interest will be in the range of 1.5 to 2 billion euro of RAB and around 1.5 to 2 million redelivery points. It is going to be the reality or not, we don't know. I mean, we are continuously update the time schedule of the of each of the tender. But as happened during 2017, we have seen significant delay on some of them. Hopefully, we will see. If it's going to be 10 tenders or 10, 15 tenders, to be, it will be a success in 2018. As you know, we have asked the Regione and the Ministry of Industry to intervene. Using their power to replace the municipality or that they are late in publishing the tenders. As of today, unfortunately, we have not been successful. We will continue to put the pressure because it's in the interest of the each municipality. It is in the interest of the country. It is in the interest of the sector to have those tenders published and awarded. We will continue ourselves with all the other companies working in the gas distribution with the association to put a pressure, but we cannot guarantee the result. Thank you.
Just a quick follow-up, if I may. The 1.5 2 billion euros RAB that will be put on tenders is referred to the old system.
It is referred to the 15 tenders.
Okay.
That is the value of the 15 tenders.
Okay. Clear. Many thanks.
Of course, there is also the value of our RAB. So it's the value published by the municipality.
Okay. Thanks.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. We will take our next question from Antonella Bianchessi from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a quick question on your M&A strategy. You were targeting 200,000 customers. It's because you were expecting a lot of tenders coming through. Does this can change your target in terms of M&A? Is it possible to accelerate the M&A? What you need to accelerate the M&A? And, you know, it's a question of resources, it's a question of availability, which is the potential. M&A could be, you know, which is the potential market for your M&A? How many companies are there that are potential target? How much is the RAB that could be acquired via M&A rather than this? Rather than tenders. The other question is on the smart meters, we've seen the acceleration. Should we expect an acceleration also in 2018? Maybe, you know, the program to end before, or, you know, what you've done in 2017 will not be there in 2018. Thank you.
Regarding the M&A, you're right. We have set 200,000 redelivery points as a target for the end of 2018 because it was in coherent with the strategy with the timeline of the tender. As we said in the past, if the tender will be further delayed, we will increase the number of the acquisition. Of course, we need to find somebody who is willing to sell, but we feel that if the tenders will be further delayed, we'll probably find a market more open to sell their distribution network, because especially if they are a small operator and they know that they are going to sell their business, in case of the delay, they will probably experience a similar, let me say, situation, in a sense that they may be expected to sell their business in 2019. They see that there is a delay, so they probably be, I'm not saying forced, but be pushed to sell the business to us. We have seen that the potential may go up to 1.5 million redelivery point, but it's really a potential in a sense that we need to find also the person that are willing to sell. Regarding the smart meters, 2018, we will replace a similar number to 2017. I think we have been able to reach this number of nearly 1.7 million smart meters, considering that we had a peak of 12,000 smart meters replaced in one day, and I think probably that is the maximum that we can do. So 2018 will experience a similar number of smart meter replacement.
Okay, thank you.
We will take our next question from Maurice Choy from Royal Bank of Canada.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Three questions from me as well. The first one is just a follow-up, I guess, from Antonella's question about M&A versus tenders. It sounds like the sellers wouldn't prefer M&A. And then, I guess, to that extent, it sounds like it would be more beneficial for Italgas to proceed through the M&A route as a buyer rather than through tenders. Could you just clarify if that is true? It would be better, I guess, for Italgas shareholders if this growth was through M&A. Second point is on OpEx again. Just to clarify, you mentioned that the 350 is still set to go down further. Is this including the new assets as well, or is this 350 coming down and then plus any new assets? And then the last question is just back again to the process of tenders, and this brings in the current political environment. If your ability to push the municipalities to push through the process is dependent on the Ministry of Energy, and a coalition, if there is one that's formed, likely will want to keep the municipalities in support, then how do you square up that the municipalities may have less of a motivation to push through with these tenders? Thank you.
First question, M&A versus tender. You know, M&A, you need to have somebody who is willing to sell, and then you have to find with that guy the right price, because as we have demonstrated, we are not willing to pay a huge premium. As of today, we have paid a very limited premium. And so it's not just a matter of combination between somebody who is willing to sell, but also somebody who is willing to sell at the right price, and the right price is the right price for us. As we said, that the M&A is just an alternative to the tenders. Of course, tenders, from certain point of view, it's easier than an M&A transaction, because we know which are the rules, we know how we can win, and in case we can win even a significant number of redelivery point. M&A, you of course find whatever it is available on the market, and maybe that are spread over different number of atoms like we have experienced. So I would not probably compare the two. I would say that the way that we have approached M&A activities, it's the right way. It's creating value for the company and for the shareholders. We will continue in that direction. And I'm sure that the moment in which a tender will accelerate, the numbers of M&A availability will significantly decrease. So if the tenders will continue to be delayed, we will see availability to M&A transaction increasing and vice versa. Regarding the second question, the 350 million, 350 million is the current perimeter because in 2017 we have not experienced any of the new acquisition inside our company. Enerco was completed in December, so the contribution of the Enerco was limited to a few days, so we cannot say that include the M&A. What we can say is that in the 350 million, we have included the M&A cost. And therefore, the 350 million includes what we have spent during 2017 to support the M&A transaction. In 2018, we will continue to make the comparison at the same perimeter, but of course, in 2018, we will have the cost coming from the new companies or distribution network that we have acquired. Last question. It is true that the Regioni and the Minister of Industry may eventually intervene in the tender process, replacing the power of the municipality and issue the tender process themselves if the municipality are late in publishing the process. Which are the motivation? Motivation, if you want, there is one very simple motivation. The amount of investment that the tenders will provoke, will generate, is such that everybody should be motivated to issue the tender and to award the tender. We have already said, I think also in the past, that the amount of investment generated by the new tenders, one, all the tenders will be approved, they will be in the range of 3 to 4 billion euro every year, of course, for the overall distribution network in Italy, compared to probably a billion and a half euro every year as of today. And that is mainly because the small operator are not investing in the gas distribution network. So the motivation is the ability, the possibility to generate a significant amount of investment, and you should consider that 80-90% of the investment is locally, so it will generate a significant local economy.
Great answer. Thank you very much.
We will now move to Bartek Kubicki from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, this is Bartek Kubicki from SocGen. Three questions basically on the topics which have been touched, but a little bit more flavor. First, regarding OPEX, I just wonder in what areas you can still cut OPEX, and I would be particularly interested how much OPEX savings could the rollout to smart meters bring on an annual basis. Second, on the tender which has been actually completed on Milan, as far as I heard, A2A paid actually quite high or offered quite high concession fee, I think above what you guided some time ago of around 7.5% depreciation, etc. And I wonder if this changes your view on actually how much of the concessions fee you or the competitors on you might be offering in the future. And the third on M&As, whether competitors are already following your policy and strategy, and they also have increased the M&A activity. Thank you very much.
On the OPEX side, if you go to page 6 of our presentation, you will understand why there's still a room to to reduce our baseline of the cost. There are still areas for which we are working on it that will bring us other cost reduction. We will continue the continuous improvement program that has been already very successful in bringing us cost reduction. So there are areas in which we can further reduce our cost. IT, the make or buy mix, you will see that there are areas and there are listed that will bring us cost reduction. On the second point, I don't know really which is the level of concession that ADUEA has recognized to the municipality of Milan for the concession. And so I cannot make a judgment. Generally speaking, as you know, concession fee have a cap in the tender, so they can go up to 10%. In our plan, we have estimated that the level of concession fee, the average, will be in the range of 7.5%, and therefore we feel that we are in the middle way between a very strong competition, 10%, and low competition, maybe in the range of 5%. So we feel that our expectation in terms of concession fee is probably correct and is based on the mix of the tenders that we expect to win. Last question is, our competitors are following us on the M&A? Maybe. I will probably say that at a national level, we are the only one that are pursuing such acquisition all over Italy. Of course, at regional level, you can find other competitors that may be interesting to acquire some distribution network. As of today, we are not aware of any other transaction, at least any other transaction. No other transaction have been announced by our competitors.
Thank you. If I may follow on this OPEX and smart meters, is it possible to quantify, for instance, how much is 1.7 million of meters you replaced in 17 on an all constant basis, how much OPEX cuts it brings? Thank you.
In terms of OPEX reduction, as we said, I think a couple of times, we will not see any OPEX reduction on the smart meters installed until we will complete the smart meters installment. I'm telling you that because for two reasons. One is that we will continue to read the old smart meters, and of course, the less that you read and you have more cost for each single unit. On the other side, the smart meters, we are experiencing a reduction in the cost of transmission of the data, and only when the full fleet will be replaced, we will see a significant reduction. So, if you want to have, let me say, at least to have a deadline, we will see some smart meter OPEX reduction in terms of mainly of reading and maintenance in end of 2019, beginning of 2020. We will not see any of the OPEX reduction in 18.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Paolo Gallo, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, everybody. If you need any follow-up or additional details, please contact the IR department. And thank you, everybody, for participating to the call.